This morning on Wake Up With Hope, Dr. Nerida McKibben joins us to share health news.
We will have a devotional thought from Pastor Mark Finley.
And Taj Paklav returns with another Reflections of Hope episode.
Plus, we have music and more.
Stay with us.
Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. You know, we can't wait to kick off today's program.
That's right, honey. It's a lovely Friday morning and we're so glad you chose to start your weekend with the love of Jesus. And today is National Book Lovers Day. What's the last book you read? Share with us on our Wake Up With Hope Facebook page.
You know, books are powerful. They can take you to another world, another family, another place altogether.
That's so true. And of course, there is one book we recommend reading and getting into every single day, and that is, I'm sure they can guess it, the Bible. It is full of gems, promises, and truth. Don't skip it ever.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, today we have a lot to share with you, but first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1945, the United States dropped a second atomic bomb on Nagasaki, Japan, leading to Japan's eventual unconditional surrender. The unconditional surrender that brought an end to World War II also serves as a powerful metaphor for our spiritual surrender to God. When we come to the end of ourselves and surrender unconditionally to Christ, we find true peace and the beginning of a new life in Him. I love what Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30 says. It invites us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
You know, in Christ, we have a hope that transcends all circumstances and a peace that passes all understanding. No matter what challenges we face, we can trust that God is working to bring about His perfect plan for our lives, offering a future filled with hope and new beginnings. And it starts with our surrender.
Amen. Well, now it's time for health news from Dr. Nerida McKibben.
In the headlines today, chronic stress linked to Alzheimer's, exercise essential for poor sleepers, and how we eat changes cancer's progress. The hypothalamus in one part of the brain sends messages to the pituitary gland in another part of the brain, which then talks to the adrenal gland, and that is called the HPA axis, and it's the major stress response pathway in the body that controls the production of cortisol. That's our primary stress hormone. Dysregulation of the HPA axis is common in Alzheimer's disease, and scientists are asking why. David Groth is a molecular geneticist from Curtin University in Australia, and he co-authored a recent study suggesting genetic variations within these pathways can result in greater cortisol production. That then primes the immune cells of the brain to increase inflammation, creating a toxic environment for brain cells, which then degenerate and die. So take steps to reduce your stress levels now and prevent Alzheimer's later. And deal with stress by taking regular exercise, meditation and prayer, eating well, and of course, prioritizing sleep. And when it comes to sleep, there's a bad news, good news story out of the British Journal of Sports Medicine. The bad news? Many of us are suffering from poor sleep patterns, and that is a big problem. You see, poor sleep is associated with high blood pressure, diabetes, stroke, heart failure, and heart disease. And the good news is that even if we are poor sleepers, regular exercise tends to counteract the health effects of poor sleep. So while exercise is always important, it's even more crucial for those of us who aren't getting a solid 7 to 9 hours of sleep most nights. One in three cancers in women is breast cancer, and a recent study shows that it's never too late to make lifestyle changes even after the diagnosis is made and treatment begun. You see, there's a growth hormone called IGF-1 that can promote the development of breast cancer cells to make them resistant to therapy. Researchers followed a 47-year-old woman being treated for breast cancer who transitioned to a whole food, plant-based diet and fasted overnight for 16 hours every day. They found her IGF levels dropped by 22%. As a side benefit, her glucose and cholesterol levels dropped dramatically too. Much larger studies are needed to prove the benefits of a plant-based diet and intermittent fasting in the management of cancer. Meanwhile, I think it's safe to say that a whole food, plant-strong eating pattern is a wise choice for us all. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's health news.
Dining or eating? Is there a difference? Let's find out the truth and why it matters on today's episode of Dog Tales.
Cyrus is a typical Labrador. He lives for food. All I do is cut an apple and he's up, ready for the apple core. He also knows exactly when he gets fed each day. So his body clock tells him to flap his ears or give us a nudge if we've forgotten. And if we give Cyrus a clue food is coming, you watch him. Is it time? Is it time? The Bible uses eating as an illustration for spending time with God. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." You see, reading the Bible each day is like eating spiritual food. It brings nourishment and it provides spiritual sustenance right through the day. The first thing I've learned from Cyrus comes from his passion for eating. He loves it. I think to myself, imagine if I have the same hunger for studying the Bible. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." Well, he's opened the door, so I guess I better go and join him. When it comes to eating, Cyrus has a major problem. He always scoffs it down so quickly, he feels as if he hasn't eaten. He then looks up waiting for more, which means he's always hungry. Watch this. So this is what we do to encourage Cyrus to eat more slowly. I find it interesting that Jesus says that he not only wants us to open the door and invite him into our life, he then goes on to say he wants to dine with us. What does that mean? You see, there's a big difference between eating and dining. My wife sometimes says to me, "Neil, I don't want to just eat with you. I want to dine with you." In other words, it's no use eating together if I've got the TV on or the laptop open doing my emails. But if we spend regular quality time dining together, taking our time, we enjoy the moment and become closer to each other in the process. I'm a bit like Cyrus. I need to learn how to spend time dining instead of eating. What about you?
The group Resonance is back with us this morning as they sing, "Hear the Call of the Kingdom." Sing along.
Christ too.
Have you ever run down a snowy mountain? On today's episode of Reflections of Hope, Taj Pakhlev shares his experience and lessons he learned riding down the snowy mountains of Southern California.
The snowy mountains of Southern California, just breathing good air, soaking up the sun, getting good exercise, enjoying God's beautiful creation, carving up these beautiful mountains at the same time. Let's go check it out.
Works of Jesus and the blessing his believers had in store. Now my grandma, she continues with God's stories and reminds us that we need to watch and pray for the strength to walk with Jesus through the trials, and in the twinkling of an eye he'll come again.
So snowboarding is an incredible sport. Sometimes it can be quite dangerous. One of the worst things you can ever do is catch an edge on your snowboard. That happens when the leading edge gets caught in the snow and all your forward momentum stops, and you just, it changes from moving forward to going straight down to the ground, and that's no fun at all.
Sins we come to love, and in every single instance we've been let down, and it causes us to blame our Lord above.
So in order to avoid this, you have to make sure that the leading edge is up and you're moving forward instead of sideways. As long as your leading edge is up and you're moving in a mostly forward direction, then you will experience the thrills and joys of riding mountains. And friends, the same is true in the ride of life. In life in general and in our spiritual life in specific, it is so important that our leading edge is facing up and not down. Because there's so many things on earth that can trip us up. The enemy of our souls have laid so many tricks and traps for our feet. He wants us to fall hard so that we don't have the strength to get back up. Because of that, we need to make sure that our spiritual edge is always up. We got to be up in our prayer life. We got to be up in our devotional experience and spending time with the Lord. We need to keep our eyes fixed upon the Lord instead of the distractions of sin and the things of the world. The Bible says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. You see, friends, the reason why so many people fail in life and fall in their spiritual journey is because they let their spiritual edge down. So today I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you to keep your spiritual edge up. Don't allow the enemy to turn you sideways in your spirituality. Move forward. Keep your edge up. Stay balanced. Breathe deeply. And when you do, you will experience the ride of your life. And when you do happen to catch an edge every now and then in the ride of life, don't stay down in the snow. Get back up and keep trying. And the Lord Jesus will teach us how to stay balanced, and he'll give us the wisdom and the strength to make sure we always keep our edge up. So stay with Jesus and enjoy the ride, and have a blessed day. Aloha.
If you're enjoying our program, don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to watch or rewatch a recent episode and discover more inspiring content.
And check us out on YouTube and subscribe to our channel and keep up with us there. We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Finley sharing today's devotional thought. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. Thank you for staying with us.
It's now time for a devotional thought. Today will be shared by Pastor Mark Finley.
What's more important, your character or your reputation? What is character? What is reputation? Our reputation is the perception that others have of us. Our reputation has to do with others, what others think about us. When other people hear your name, what do they think about? What thoughts come into their mind? Our character is who we really are. Our character has to do with not what others think we are, but what we actually are. Our character is the most important thing. Now, I've heard people say, well, don't worry about your reputation, just worry about your character. What's more important in a car, to have brakes or gas? What's more important to have in a car? Is it to be able for the car to go or the car to stop? You say that's a false dichotomy. And it's in a sense true. It's a false dichotomy with character and reputation. God desires us to have a positive reputation so that we can positively influence people. But that reputation is never to be achieved at the expense of character. If you have a solid character that knows God, that loves God, that's committed to blessing other people, that will create a positive reputation. In Proverbs chapter 22, the proverb talks to us about reputation. It says in Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. If we make a commitment to unselfishly serve like Jesus served, he will take care of our reputation. During the early days of the Salvation Army, William Booth and his associates were bitterly attacked by the press, by religious leaders and government leaders alike. Whenever his son Bramwell showed Booth a newspaper attack, the general would simply reply, "Now, son, now, Bramwell, 50 years from now, it will matter very little indeed how these people treated us. It will matter a great deal how we deal with the work of God." William Booth knew that the most important thing in life is doing God's will. The most important thing in life is a knowledge of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to create with us an unselfish, kind character. Think about the Salvation Army today just for a moment. They have a sterling reputation. I know when my dad was growing up, he had no father that he knew of, brought up in very poverty-stricken homes in New York City, places like Hell's Kitchen and the Harlem in New York. And his dad was brought up there. He had a rough time. He was brought up in the Great Depression in the United States, 1928, 29, 30, 31, 32. Those were very difficult years. People were unemployed in the United States, hard to get work. They were standing in long bread lines to get bread just to survive. And it was cold in New York City, but the Salvation Army provided for my father clothing during that time. They provided a coat for him, which he didn't have. And they developed a sterling reputation for unselfish sacrificial service. The most important thing in life is a knowledge of Christ, a relationship with him, a commitment to do his work, to reflect his character and follow his leading. And if that is our decision, he will take care of our reputation. Our reputations are not nearly as important as our characters. And if we're committed to do God's will, he's going to guard our reputations. If we're committed to do his will, he will care for our reputations. In the book of Matthew, chapter 20, we have a story of a mother. And we shouldn't blame this mom too much. She's a story of a mom that wants the best for her children. She's a story of a mom who wants to see her children have position, have honor, have a good reputation. So in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, this mother of Zebedee's sons, James and John, comes to Jesus with her sons. And she kneels before him and she says, and Jesus says to her, "What do you want?" And she says, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom." See, she thinks that Jesus is going to come into his kingdom. And she thinks, "I know what I want. I want my sons to have a place of honor. I want them to have a place of position, a place of authority. I want their reputation to be one, that they're sitting one in Christ's left hand, one in Christ's right hand. That's what I want. And Jesus shocks her. He says, a little later in the chapter, verse 25, he calls all of his disciples to himself. He has a lesson he wants to teach them. He says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Those that are great exercise authority over them. They have this great reputation. But it's not going to be so among you." Verse 26, "Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." Jesus came not to give his time, but to give his life. He came to reveal the character of God. He touched the eyes of the blind and they were opened. Touched the ears of the deaf and they were unstopped. Touched the withered man's arm and it was healed. Touched legs that were paralyzed and they leaped and walked again with new life. Forgave the sin of the woman caught in adultery. Broke the bread and fed 5,000. What is it about this Christ that draws all men to him today? What is it that gives him such a positive reputation? It's his character. It's his life of service. And he hangs on that cross with nails through his hands and blood running down his wrists and blood running from the temples, from the crown of thorns upon his head, matting in his beard and dripping at the stone at the foot of the cross. He dies there bearing your sins and mine. He dies with the guilt of sin, the condemnation of sin. He who knew no sin took sin upon himself for us. What is it that causes songs to be sung about him? What is it that causes artists to paint pictures of him? What is it that causes books to be written about Christ? Why? What has given him such a positive reputation that echoes and re-echoes down the ages? Here's what it is. Jesus was more concerned about his character than his reputation. And Jesus knew that if he lived a life of self-sacrificial service, a life of love and kindness and compassion, that God would take care of his reputation. And that happened. What about you? Proverbs says a good name is better than riches. How do you achieve a good name? By striving for it, by seeking first place, by trying to get as much power as you can to gain a good reputation. Tell God you want a character of loving service, and he'll take care of your reputation.
Thank you for those inspiring words, Pastor Mark.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about our program, rewatch a segment during the weekend, or share us with a friend, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we look forward to starting every week with you. So don't forget to join us on Monday morning, same time, same place. We will have an inspiring message from Voice of Prophecy, a delicious recipe from Gia and her team, and so much more.
Also, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more about what the Bible teaches, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study.
And we can't leave without sharing a Bible promise for the weekend. And today's promise comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7.
In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace.
Amen. You know, we hope you keep this amazing promise in your heart this whole weekend. And we truly wish you a blessed, blessed walk with Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, as we keep these things in our hearts, we walk with you. And we want to do that continuously, not just during this segment, but throughout the day, throughout the weekend, each and every day, Lord, we want to find ourselves drawing closer and closer to you. So thank you for speaking to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.